Well, this morning, a well-known parable indeed. That parable, one of the ones which we read a moment ago, the parable of the lost coin. And so, to go with our thoughts this morning, here's a question. Always at this time, I feverishly look to make sure I've not done any howlers there in typos or something. No, I think we're all right. Do we know how lost we are? Do we know how lost we are? That's really there, not just for young people, for all of us. If we're not Christians today, do we know how lost we actually are? That's one of the things, in a way, that comes out of our parable this morning. For it's quite straightforward, isn't it, to understand. Always interesting the context there, that it was said because all the Pharisees and all the religious leaders were looking on, very unhappy, because the Lord Jesus seems to have time for people they regarded as disreputable and not very good people, and he spent all this time with them. And so he said, yes, I'm very happy to spend that time with them. And if you noticed, in both of the parables, at the end of it, the big theme, the thing that really there stands out, is the joy. He actually loves to find such people. The Pharisees looked at it and thought, don't like them. He actually delights to save such people, and there is joy in heaven. So it's a bit of a challenge to them. Well, why don't we feel joy when God works for people who are lost in their sins? But anyway, here we are with a parable we can easily understand. This poor woman, this coin we think might have been part maybe of a wedding gift that you'd be given, a sort of set of coins you could wear in a, like a headband there, all right? And one of them had gone missing. You can picture it, can't you? She looks for her headband. She's going to put it on, and there it is. A glaring gap there, isn't it? One place where the coin should be, and it's missing. She knows immediately this is trouble. A coin like that could have gone anywhere. Could have landed on the floor, and we only know too well, don't we, how things can roll and go in the most unlikely places. And so there in the story, she decides, I'm going to find this coin. I'm going to do everything to find it. I'm going to look everywhere possible to look it out. And of course, they didn't have electric lights to switch on in those days. So she lights her lamp and she's got her broom there to swish around under things to hopefully swish this coin out or to find out where it was and then to be able to put it back where it belongs. And she's successful. That's the wonder of that, isn't it? She was actually successful. She rejoices and wants all her friends to be happy as well. This coin that was of such value to her, she's found it. Could have been lost, could have disappeared, could have lost it out in the street somewhere, or it's out in some hole and you never know where it is. Now, I'm sure we could all think of things maybe we would dread to lose. Maybe we've lost such things. There's a bring it up to date for us, isn't it, there? What denarius or whatever she had there, whatever this gold coin value was, but there's a pound coin. I'm sure all of us there have at times, where did that coin go? And we can't find it, and we look for it here, there, and everywhere. Here's an American version here, right? Very interesting. Who's this? Don't look at the writer. Who is this venerable person, James? It's Abraham Lincoln, a special coin there that was minted there regarding him, 16th president in God we trust. Well, that's something, isn't it, there we need to take to heart. There he is. A coin like that, that might be valuable. And if you had one of those and then lost it, you would be really sad. Here's something else, what might this be? I'll tell you what it is precisely, but, you know, near enough, what does that look like there? Some people have celebrated things around these sorts of things just lately. Oh, James, going to have a go. It is a ring. And what kind of ring do you think it is? When I punched in, I want this sort of ring. It came up with this for me. What sort of ring? What's it commemorating? It's a diamond ring. Thank you there. I put out my agony on that one. Thank you there. A diamond ring, a wedding ring. I don't know whether your mum and dad have got one. Anyway, you there we are. They've been celebrating their wedding anniversaries and things there and birthdays. Rings. A wedding ring. Diamond ring. Brilliant. But not if you lose it. You can imagine, couldn't you, if you actually lost that diamond ring, you would be really, really distraught. Or imagine this, that vital bit of Lego that was the piece that held together that half-scale model of Buckingham Palace or something like that. And that, it was that bit, it held it together. And if it went missing, you'd be searching here, there, and everywhere. You look at all those places that you imagine it might have gone. So I'm afraid it's under the fridge. It's never nice under the fridge, but you have to look under there. Or under the cooker that it could have gone. You're moving the settee, shifting the beds, having a look to see, has it gone down this crack here? Or lifting up the cushions and hands in these crevices and places. Could it have gone there? You'd be thorough. And you're looking out where your piece of Lego is. This vital piece, perhaps, that is going to hold your model together, or is that special little feature there that sort of really sets it apart from everything else. So things of value that we have get lost. But of course, God is not speaking about coins per se, or rings, or bits of Lego, or other things that we might lose that are valuable, passwords to computers and all the rest of that. He's talking about people. He's talking about people. And he's talking about what the Pharisees sneer at and think of as sinners, imagining themselves to be righteous. And of course, really, they've got to learn from this parable how wrong they actually are. He's talking about people. And this is interesting, isn't it? That with all of these things, yes, we get that. But it's remarkable with God that he says of human beings, there's something worth finding. There's something worth finding. I don't know there if you lost a penny or something like that. I don't know, maybe you wouldn't, but you might think, well, that's not going to spend very much with that. It's not going to get me far. I don't think it's worth hunting too long for that. Or some less important bit of Lego. I think, well, I can live without that piece. I can use a red one instead of a blue one. No great loss on that. God declares these people are worth finding. They're worth finding. It's worth a search. It's worth spending time and effort to look them out and to bring them from where they are and to put them where I want them now to be and to be able to have them there and to be able to enjoy fellowship with them. It is worth time, cost, and effort to find them, that it's worthwhile. They're worth something to me. I have to say that's remarkable because God is holy and glorious and higher than we could ever imagine him. So for him to think it's worth time, cost, and effort to find people like us is amazing. That's amazing. It's amazing that this parable could ever have happened. That it is in the heart of God to search for lost people. There's something worth finding, he declares. And that to the Pharisees, that these people that they sort of rejected, they're worth finding. I'm very happy to find these people and rescue these people. There's joy in heaven. And Pharisees, there should be joy in your hearts as well, if you're really on message. So there's a bit of a rebuke to them there. So there we are. Something worth finding, that we should have this parable in the first place, is really quite a surprise. Well, here's a question. How did we get lost? How did we get lost? Well, here, as with all parables, you have to just move a little bit beyond exactly where we are, because coins and rings and bits of Lego don't sort of have a mind to say, I'm going to go and get lost now. You know, your Lego doesn't sprout legs and jump out of the box and rush under the cooker or under the fridge or something there and get lost in amongst that. It doesn't happen. Or a coin, think, right, so I'm just going to pop out of your pocket or open your purse and roll under that sort of dark corner that you never go in there or under that big, heavy wardrobe which you have to get down and you're fiddling around trying. It doesn't happen like that. They can't think. They're inanimate, aren't they? So we've got to think people, all right, we're not quite exactly like a coin or a ring, but we ended up lost. We've ended up lost. In fact, we start life lost. Here's my question. Do we know how lost we are? We didn't end up lost because of somebody's carelessness or negligence, or somebody put us there and then forgot we were there, or somebody knocked something over and we happened to be on it and sort of rolled away out of God's sight. We began there. We began in darkness. We began in a place where really we're, if you will, amongst all the rubbish there. We're amongst all the things that are worthless there. That's our sin. That's where we are. And we need to work that one out a little bit. We don't always know how lost we are. And it's important that we do realize that one. We're not there in a place where we can be seen by God and we're in a bright sort of light. We're in darkness and hidden away from him. Here's something else we might ask. Can we make ourselves noticeable? Can we make ourselves noticeable? Well, go back here to our coins and our rings and bits of Lego. They can't make themselves noticeable, can they? They can't wave to you or speak to you and say, I'm under the settee or back of the fridge or something like that. They can't do that. They're absurd, isn't it, even to think that they could. You know, your piece of Lego can't sort of get legs and come out from under the fridge and say, well, look, that's where I was, so here I am, I'm found now. Notice me. And we can't either. People try. They think, actually, this will work. I will make myself very presentable to God. Then he'll really take notice of me. If I'm lost, well, never matter. I'm going to be found. And I shall do all kinds of things to make sure I get found. So people think. So they go to church and think, oh, God will notice me here. Or give up some things they're doing which are wrong. Good, well, fine, that's good. But that isn't going to be enough. That's not going to work. We think there in our pride that somehow God will be pleased with us if we present ourselves well and make ourselves there noticeable to him. So we don't know how lost we are. In fact, one of the things that people really hear, we're ahead of ourselves in a sense, didn't even know we were lost. A lot of people don't even think that they are lost. That in this way, they're hidden away, they're in darkness, they're in a miserable and wretched state, far away from God. They rather think sometimes they're God's favourites. That God thinks they're fine. Oh, it's all right. Pharisees went down that road there, didn't they? They didn't even think of themselves as being lost. They thought of themselves like being righteous and everything's fine with us. So we have to realise this. Do we realize we are lost? Do we realize that? Do we realize that our lack of interest in God, our lack of desire for him, do we realize that shows we're lost? That's a sign to us that we're far from God, like the coin hidden under a wardrobe somewhere, miles away, and unable to make ourselves noticeable or presentable or to shout out to him, here we are, come and find me. We are seriously lost, far away from him. No power to do anything about it, any more than the coin or the ring has the power to make itself be found or jump out of wherever it is. We're in such a state as that, lost. Do we realize it? But then another question, in a sense, do we care about it? Do we want to be found? Do we want to be found? Do we think that this is the most important thing in the world, to be forgiven of God, to have trusted in his Son, to know that our life is now secure in him, that we're his servants, and that we have got before us a future to love him, to serve him, and honor him? Is that to us something of vital importance, indeed the most vital thing in the world? Do we want to be found by him? Do we want his salvation and forgiveness? Is that the thing that we think is most important? Forget everything else. Forget health and wealth. Forget the future career. Forget everything else. Is that to be found by God who says in his parable, he goes looking. But there it is. We can't find ourselves, but there he comes looking. He does the searching. He does all the work necessary to find us. And of course, who pays the cost of this? Who has to pay the price for this? Whose energy and time and pains and sufferings lead to us being found? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? God has done all for us there. But yes, but do we want the benefit of it? Do we actually want to be found? Or do we think, it's not really worth it. I'll stay under the fridge here, if you like. Or it's better under the settee. I'm fine where I am. Do you realize you're lost? Do you want to be found? In this parable here, we can see God is going to great, great lengths to find any who would wish to be found, any who want to be part of this, who want their sin forgiving, and who want to know this great God who has sent his Son, and who want to live for his glory and serve him, and find at last that they have a place in heaven, judgment day, all secure, where they're answered for by the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom that is everything. So there we are. Do we know how lost we are? We have gone far out of God's sight there. We're away from him. But he's searching for sinners, sent his Son to die for sinners. But we need to know we're lost and admit it. And we need to want all that God offers us that is there through repentance and faith. So there's a simple parable. Oh, there's so much more we could have said, but we'll save that perhaps for another time. Maybe next time we'll have a look at the lost sheep and see something further of what it is that we're meant to cotton onto here and realize through these parables that the Lord Jesus tells us. Well, let's sing our final hymn. 670, I will sing the wondrous story, 670.